Before we start today's show, we want to share some exciting news from the Radiotopia family. Normal Gossip is back for its sixth season. If you've ever found yourself eavesdropping on strangers' juicy conversations and maybe wanting to chime in too, this show is for you. On Normal Gossip, host Kelsey McKinney shares the juiciest gossip sent in by listeners all around the world, then brings in a special guest to weigh in on the actions within the story. The stories are everything from petty to bizarre to downright strange. Fun fact, you might recognize a few of this season's guests from the Radiotopia universe. So check it out. New episodes start April 17th. Listen to Normal Gossip wherever you get your podcasts. Radio Diaries is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Radiotopia.
From PRX.
From PRX's Radiotopia, this is Radio Diaries. I'm Joe Richman. A few months ago, my brother, sister, and I helped move our mom into a retirement home. She moved there with her husband, Bob. It's a pretty nice place, part 1950s hotel, part college dorm, lots of activities. My mom was busier than she's been for a while. Just a few days ago, I was visiting and I helped hang dozens of photos on the wall of their apartment. That wall is now a visual timeline stretching almost 8 decades. For most of human history, people didn't expect to live into their 80s and 90s. But these days, that's the fastest growing segment of the U.S. population. According to the latest study from the Center for Disease Control, over 2 million people in the United States are living full-time in nursing or retirement communities. When you spend so much of your life getting to the next stage, thinking about the next move, what is it like to find yourself at the last place? Some time back, I became mildly obsessed with this question. So I spent months visiting one retirement community, Presbyterian Homes in Evanston, Illinois. I got to know some of the residents there, and I gave a few of them tape recorders to keep audio diaries of their lives in retirement. Today on the Radio Diaries podcast, we bring you stories from the last place.
Apartment A103, and it's a little two-room cubicle. My name is Joseph G. Pine, P-E-I-N-E, the hard way. I'm 88 years old. I was a free soul up until a couple of years ago. And after the last bout that I had with the hospital, came up with the Presbyterian Homes, and said this is the place to be. So that's why I'm here. So I sold the beautiful car of my life. Cadillac four-door sedan DeVille with a big tire on the back, red leather lining, big wire wheels. Oh, it's a beautiful car.
It was assumed many years ago when you got old, you lived with the family. And I guess there's something to be said for that. But at the same time, it's a nice feeling to know you can be cared for without depending on the family or putting them out. One nice thing about being here, there are so many activities, so many movies we can see. We can have our EKG here, dentistry, podiatry, you name it, we have it here.
May I have your attention for a moment? This morning there was a bag.
Well, I'm Eleanor Erickson. I am soon going to be 96 years old. Now, one thing, when we go to breakfast is served at 7:30. We cannot go down in robes and slippers and curlers. We have to be dressed.
And a regular order?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
Fine. Thank you. Yep, Joan says I complain about the food. Eggs, waffles, pancakes. Today was pretty good. There's so much activity going on here. But you get to the place where you feel your age, and you just acknowledge that and thankful you don't have to do anything.
Good morning, baby.
70-some-odd years. I smoked cigarettes. Well, let's say I'm 88 now, and I started when I was 12 years old. So figure that one out. That's how long I smoked. And now I'm allowed, my daughter allows me 3 cigarettes a day. One after breakfast, one after lunch, and one after dinner. And that's part of my problem. I have this thing to trot around with. Wheeling that goddamn thing around all the time. And it's a green tank to which are attached tubing that you put into your nose, and you turn the oxygen on, and it goes up into your nose and into your lungs and helps you to breathe. And there you go.
We're back in my room now, and I am taking my daily ration of raisins and gin. Ever hear of it? This should be interesting. Well, this is just a little plastic jar to fill up with white raisins, cover them with gin, and leave them stand for a couple weeks. They puff up a little bit, and then you eat 9 every day, not 8 or 10. Although I sometimes have my 10. And some people claim that it helps arthritis. And I got enough in here for maybe 2 or 3 days. I have been in this room now for over 5 years. I realize this is my last home. Lifetime care. When I came in here, I put my assets in trust that's used for my care. So they know that they have to take care of me until I'm gone, and I know that too. And it's kind of a good feeling. When I die, this is it.
I don't enjoy this kind of living, that's all. But don't forget that for years and years and years, I was on the road. I was a salesman, men's clothing, Society Brand Limited. I was in New York one day, I was in New Orleans the next, I was in San Francisco the next. I was a master of my own destiny. Sinatra says I did it my way. Now all of a sudden, I have to be dependent. Somebody has to sometimes even open the door for me. And I don't like it. Like I say, if I had my car here, it wouldn't be so bad and I'd have freedom. I wouldn't be sitting here right now if I had a car. On a day like this, I'd be out someplace. Tool around a little bit. That car would be a Cadillac convertible.
Hi, honey. I'm Betty Appleyard. On a Saturday afternoon, I'm sitting in my living room. If you'd like to know a little bit about the house where we live, it's called a townhouse here on the campus. Deb just came out of the shower looking great in his navy blue robe and his nice white hair freshly shampooed. He's so very thin, rangy, lanky, long legs. You look pretty good with a new haircut.
Thanks.
How do you like that?
I needed a haircut.
Well, I know. It was just looking terrible. I trimmed the back.
In the back, it looked shaggy, huh?
It didn't look good. I wish you cared more about it.
For money.
The noise is my walker as I go around here. When I bought it, the man I bought it from said, you know, this is the Cadillac of the walkers. And so I look at it and think, I didn't want it, but I'm very grateful that I have it. Can't choose what happens to us. As I tell everybody, from the chin up, I'm okay, but from there down, things are not so great. Oh, Dev's music is going rather loudly all of a sudden. Is this your favorite one, Dev?
I think so.
Beethoven's Opus 132 in A minor.
Right.
Oh, how I used to look forward to those musicals when they came to Chicago.
I know.
No more going downtown.
No more going to.
Not with
like
me.
That.
You can go. You should go with the Lymans. They
well,
do everything.
No.
Well, you could.
It's not a good idea.
Well, it is a good idea. You just always say that you can't go out without me, but you can.
Yeah, right. Well, it's all right.
Well, he stays with me a lot of times when I know he'd rather be doing other things. He's not a very expressive or emotional person, and he'll just say, it's all right, it's okay, I don't mind. But I sometimes feel that I mind, and I just feel, I guess, as all older people feel as you grow older, that you don't want to be a burden to anyone, and especially not to your husband.
Okay. I think I'll go get myself something to eat.
As usual. Snack.
Right.
Should I clean up the kitchen before?
It's all cleaned up.
Oh, really?
Very good. It wasn't much.
Okay, hon.
This is the Westminster Beauty Salon, and I'm Evelyn Jo Johnson. Well, I'm getting a little haircut right now.
I'm Jack Beyer-Wallace, and I'm only interested in one woman, and that's Evelyn Jo Johnson. Well, she's at the hairdresser now. She takes care of herself very nicely. Her apartment is just down the hall, and so I would see her at breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That was the beginning of it.
Jack is a nice fellow, and it's just a very nice feeling to all of a sudden have somebody to hold your hand.
We have some pretty ladies around here, and we have some very lovely ladies around here, but they don't have her charm and attractiveness for me. And that's why she's my gal. Hi, honey. Sit down here.
Well, you're sitting right in the middle.
Okay, honey. Well, her husband had been dead for a few years, and my wife had been dead for 2 or 3 years, and so I asked her one night, and then she was in my arms, and I asked her if she would like to, did she look with favor upon my marrying or getting married?
Absolutely.
I get sick and tired of looking at gray hair and walkers and walking sticks. When I first got in here, I thought it was wonderful. All I'm waiting for is to go out and meet some nice people. Never happened. All I met was a bunch of stiffs. I'm used to walking in to a dining room and everybody says, "Hi, Joe. Hiya, baby. Hi, what's up?" But that isn't the case here.
I want my usual butter pecan with chocolate sauce.
Sure. And vanilla ice cream or peppermint?
I'll have butter pecan.
Okay.
And you can throw this away.
All right.
Now, most of the men that's sitting at that table there, they're all people that came from this area. 8 men that sit there every night, the pallbearers, I call them. They sit there and speak in a well-modulated tone. And there are different types of people. There are people that are bankers, former heads of businesses, lawyers. I was a men's clothing man. I don't know. We don't talk the same language. So I sit over to the side where I can keep my little tank by my side. And I'm sure that maybe these men see me as a half invalid, and they feel, well, gee whiz, this guy is on his last legs. Maybe they feel that way. But I certainly don't feel that way.
I'm writing a birthday card to my nephew. Now, I'm 96 years old, and he is 80 years old. So he's a pretty much grown-up boy. I can't write longhand anymore. My hands are weak and arthritic, and I'm just glad if I can sign my name. But I'm very thankful that I can type, and I write an awful lot of letters. I've written hundreds over the few years. And I don't write just the weather's nice or something like that. Very often I say a prayer of thanks for people that had an impact on my life, all my life. And I don't think any of us can have dozens of very close friends through the years, but I've had a few that I treasured. They're all gone, but close friendships take time. Now, there are a lot of wonderful people here. You don't get to know them that well. We get together in groups. We're together 3 meals a day. But even those that you feel are very special, it's just a different relationship. It takes time to build a relationship. And you don't have the time here. Finished.
Let's put it this way. I never was a joiner. My wife was. She was very social, so to speak. My daughter is very social. My son is exceedingly social. And I'm not. I got a lot of good books that I read. I read the paper. In the evening, I watch television for a few hours. And I'm not lonesome. Fact of the matter is, if somebody came to the door some afternoon, I might turn them away. I might say, "I'm sorry, I'm busy." I haven't had that privilege, but nevertheless, I could. It all depends upon who knocks at the door. I haven't been able to find anybody yet. Maybe I'm not looking so hard. Maybe I'm not trying. Maybe I do not have the forcefulness that an old salesman used to have. You never know where you find somebody that you're akin to. You never know.
It's Betty again. I woke up early this morning, about 5:15, and I turn on the light in the bedroom because Dev sleeps very soundly. Each morning I do wake up with some pain and discomfort, and then I get up and sit in the living room and look out. The sun, the morning sun, is coming in through the windows now and hits a little crystal bowl that's sitting on a chest in the middle of our living room. And then the whole spectrum I can see on the white wall behind it. Unfortunately, I can also see the dust on the top of that little chest. Well, since I have not been able to get around so well,
I felt that after the second knee surgery that I would be able to do more things and I wouldn't be in pain. But it's been a very great disappointment to me that the knee is not working. That's what they told the doctor told me when he said that the x-ray is fine, there's nothing to do. And I said, well, the man that did the first knee for me, and he just sort of interrupted me, and he said, there is nothing can be done. Nothing can be done. And you can, we could put a brace on you from the hip to the toe. And he said, well, people wear them, and then quite often they opt for amputation. That's all. He said, you can come back and see me in 2 or 3 months if you want to. That was it. That was the end of it. And I was just so startled. So that was what I heard, and it takes one back, and I think that I'll never be walking along like other people ever. But I'm hoping that I won't be totally. I'm sorry. But I think that even if I do become more disabled, and I think of things that I could do, and my eyes are still good, thank heavens. But I'll be fine. Not perfect, but fine.
I used to play all sorts of things, but my fingers are so bad, and they're stiff. Nothing moves.
Well,
let's see how this comes out.
Good friends from the home here died this morning. So she's a very nice person, one of the first that I knew here, and talked to her often. She played bridge with some people Friday night, and I'm sure I saw her yesterday. So today she's gone.
I think I used to think quite often, oh, I'm gonna die someday. It just didn't seem like it could happen, that the world would go on. But you begin to realize that it will come to you eventually, and I used to go to a lot of weddings, but now it's funerals. No weddings lately.
I have friends here that are very ready to go, and I hope I will be like they are. I don't believe that I will die. Life will change, and I will be in a better place.
Mrs. Evelyn Jo Johnson and Mr. John A. Bayer-Wallace invite you to be with us as we begin our new life together. No gifts, please. Your best wishes are preferred.
I, Jack, take thee, Evelyn Jo.
I, Jack, take thee, Evelyn Jo.
To be my wedded wife.
To be my wedded wife.
To have.
Weddings are few and far between in Presbyterian homes. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to spending the rest of my life with her.
You may kiss the bride.
Gretchen, it's good to have you here. I'm glad to see you here. Molly, it's great to have you here. Glad you came.
Oh, they said, well, we understand we're gonna tie cans on your walkers.
Well, 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 well. Hi there, darling.
Hello.
Hello. My granddaughter just came to visit me with her two children, my two great-granddaughters. These were kids that I grew up with in our old neighborhood. This is me, the third one.
Wow, this is you?
That's me.
Because yeah. That I can recognize.
And that's me.
Yeah.
See that?
Oh, holding you're
up.
Holding it up.
It's kind of faded out, isn't it? I was about 5 years old. And when I look it over, I think everybody on there is gone except me. I alone am left.
Tell her like it is.
Now I'm going to tell her.
Okay. Put her close on that.
When I'm with my grandchildren sometimes, I realize how much I have slowed down. When you're in a place like this, you have more time. And you do think of your life, my past, what I wish I had done differently, about the people that had an impact on my life. My life has been rich with friendships, true friendships. And I think a lot about that these days. But I think sometimes people do, they dread getting old. You often hear that. I would not want to relive my life. There are a lot of wonderful memories that I have, but I don't want to go back. I'm going forward.
Thanks to Eleanor Erickson, Joe Pine, Dev and Betty Appleyard, and newlyweds Evelyn Jo Johnson and John Bierwalters for sharing their stories in their audio diaries. The music was performed by Presbyterian Home residents George Stamm, Claude Metzler, and the monthly Presbyterian Home sing-along group. The Last Place, Diary of a Retirement Home, originally aired on NPR and WBEZ in Chicago. The story was produced by me, Joe Richman, and edited by Deborah George and Ben Shapiro. The Radio Diaries podcast is produced by Sarah Kate Kramer. We're part of Radiotopia, a podcast network from PRX with 13 great shows. Support for the Radio Diaries podcast comes from the Knight Foundation, MailChimp, and listeners like you. Speaking of you, I know that as a podcast listener, you are inundated with choices. There are hundreds of shows vying for your ear time. So the fact that you chose Radio Diaries, well, thank you. To support the work you hear on this podcast, you can do it at radiodiaries.org. I'm Joe Richman of Radio Diaries. Thanks for listening and for supporting us.
Radiotopia.